In podcast 895, the Bob Davis podcast, we're going to do some observations as an easy talker about barnstorming Iowa for the caucuses. Kind of a travel podcast with a little politics involved because I just want to share some of my personal experiences in this effort to cover the caucuses down here in Iowa in the last 10 days of campaigning. And it's been quite an interesting ordeal so far, and it's only been 3 or 4 days, and I've got to go until February 3rd at least. So we're going to talk about that stuff in podcast 895, the Bob Davis Podcasts. But before I start, I got to talk about payment processing and a company who's really helped the Bob Davis podcast out a lot, and that is ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. There's a lot of payment processors out there today, and you know, one of the things you see when you're going through small towns, whether it's Fairfield or Ames, or even smaller towns around here, is you see a lot of startup businesses. And startup businesses need payment processing, and it doesn't matter where you are because they're not just located in Minneapolis. I mean, ReliaFund is in Plymouth, Minnesota, but they serve businesses all over the country, all over the world with payment processing services. What do? ReliaFund integrates their systems with your systems seamlessly, so it works. It is a very professional, really heavy-duty payment processing capability. They have no long-term contracts. They're secure, technology-focused, and actually very reasonable. I asked ReliaFund to build me a little button on my website that allows clients to pay with checks if I want them to or if they want to. So if you're a developer, this is important to know. If you're developing an e-commerce website for clients or back office systems for clients, this is a great company to work with. ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than 2 decades. Been doing this a long time. You can get to them by checking them out online at ReliaFund.com, ReliaFund.com, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. That takes you to their contact page, or more importantly, if you would like to speak to a human, you can call them at 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. Greg Lowry or Kevin Hill. Great guys, and they're standing by to help you out at ReliaFund. Remember, ReliaFund, ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. Yes, it does look like winter out there. It is cold. It's January. It's going to be February. And of course, February gets to be incredibly long, even though this year's a leap year, so it's going to be short. That's not going to help. Here's the deal. For the contractor, this is the time that they are starting to prepare and plan their project. So if you're thinking about adding onto your house, if you're thinking about a big project for next spring and summer, this is the time when you got to call contractors. And I'm going to recommend Randy Grabo at Whitetail Builders in Andover, Minnesota. They are great. And most of the people that I know that work with him rave about Randy because his whole thing is being there with you from beginning to end. He's not going to farm stuff out. He can refer great partners for cabinet building or plumbing or any of that stuff, and he's going to be there to make sure everything gets done right. Whitetail Builders is all about helping you construct your dreams, whether it's a bathroom or a garage or, you know, fixing up the basement or whatever. Let me give you their number because I've got it right here. Randy Grabo, and this is his cell phone number, 612-282-8801, 612-282-8801. Randy loves talking to people about these projects, and he's going to make sure that your expectations are met. Whitetail Builders at whitetailbuildersinc.com or click on the banner at the top of the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Yeah, so I'm in Ames, Iowa, and I am outside the Great Harvest Bakery right here in Ames, Iowa. When I step out, of course, the command vehicle is running. When I step out, I step right into the snow. And I'm live here, and I thought it would take a little bit of time in between these events to talk about what I'm doing and what that is like. And I will tell you, I'd forgotten that when you're doing something like this, so what I've decided to do, for those who don't know because they don't listen or they're just finding this podcast through search, is I like to go to a story. Some of the podcasts I've done where I've actually gone out to a story and covered it include the pipeline protest a few years ago, conventions, air shows, Sturgis, the motorcycle rally at Sturgis, things like that, where I will stay in one place for a little bit of time and get some sound and talk to people and do a podcast on a particular issue or story and then put it up there. And sometimes these are very layered and very elaborate podcasts. They take a lot of time to produce, and they're a mixture of different microphones and so forth, and then they're put together as a piece. And then if you want to find out about the pipeline protest, for example, go to the BobDavisPodcast.com and search for pipeline, and you'll find that podcast. You can listen to it and you can draw your own conclusions about what you think was going on there. Same with Sturgis, which is really just a lot of fun, or the air show, which is a lot of fun, or in 2016, because there was so much action on the Republican side. I came down to Iowa a couple of times, but I came down to Iowa before the caucus last year, which I believe the Democrat caucus was on February 7th. And I was here for 3 or 4 days covering Republican events. And so I thought in 2020, well, I'm going to come back down here, except I'm going to do Democrat events because, first of all, I've not covered Democrats. And two, this is where all the action is in 2020, because obviously with Trump being the president, you know, he's pushed off all of as many as he can of the challengers from ballots across the country, so that he's the only, you know, challenge. So there's not really going to be a fight at the convention unless it's a surprise, unless he's removed from office at this late date or at any point before the election, the conventions, the nominating conventions. Or if somebody comes along and decides with a lot of resources to challenge him. But I don't think that's going to happen. As far as being removed, couldn't tell you whether that's going to happen or not. Don't predict the future in these podcasts. Don't care one way or the other, because I'm not, you know, trying to defend or attack the president. What I find interesting is this process. And in 2016, I came out here to Iowa and covered the Republicans, which, you know, I got to tell you, most of the events that I covered were in and around Des Moines. And I think I ended up in Jefferson. So I covered most of the events that I covered were all right here in Des Moines. I'm in Ames now, but Des Moines just right down the road. So I didn't really get around the whole state. This time, my plan is a little bit more robust. And so my plan was to run down the eastern side of Iowa, which is considered the industrial heart of the state going back to the late 1800s. Burlington, Dubuque, Quad Cities, those cities. And then I thought, well, I'll work sort of the central part of the state in Des Moines. I have friends in Fairfield. And then I would end up in the western part of the state, Council Bluffs or Sioux City. And the plan is, once I get to Council Bluffs and I get through the caucus, and I wanted to do a caucus in the western part of Iowa as opposed to this part of Iowa, because this part of Iowa is the older part and the part of the state that was settled earlier. So that's my plan. And then I want to go down to Texas just for myself. And sort of do travel podcasts all the way down to Texas. I'm going to go down to the border, down to Brownsville. So I'll be doing Marco Island and Corpus Christi and Beaumont, Port Arthur, and Galveston, and so forth. And for me, that's just fun. So that's the plan. And I wanted to share just general observations about this because now I'm getting texts. What it's like to do this, because I don't think that many people who are doing independent podcasts are doing what I'm doing. This is unique. And so I wanted to share what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And the why is that if you want to understand what is happening, you've got to get away from what people are telling you about what's happening. One of the biggest problems in our country today is, do yourself a favor, try this because it's fascinating. So when people say things, when people say blah, 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 whatever that is, especially about politics, take that whole statement as a quote and put it in Google and search it. And 90% of the time, you're going to find that they're just repeating what someone else said, whether it's Sean Hannity or Rachel Maddow or some politician or some activist. It's always what someone else said. They're not reading up on a subject and coming to their own conclusions about a subject. So what happens, and this isn't a value judgment about those people at all. That's not what I'm saying. What happens is, you get these very concrete views of what's going on based on what people say, based on opinions. So much of what is written today about any subject is commentary and not really journalism, so to speak. Now, there are journalists here, and I understand that I'm not criticizing journalism, but so much of what the discourse is today on almost any subject is based on pundits and commentators and people who talk, like myself. So what I decided to do was start whenever possible, and it's limited by money and it's limited by the platform I'm driving, this old ambulance, which is now 20 years old, and go out and actually go to a story and find out what is happening. And then be able to look at it from a human perspective instead of a social media perspective or a meme or what people say. So if you tell somebody you want to do something, they're going to say, you should do this or you should do that, or I found out my friend did that and it wasn't very good, or my sister did that and it was a huge mistake and you shouldn't do that. Hey, I want to buy a ranch style house. Oh, ranches are terrible because whatever. People have very strong opinions about things, and if you just take somebody's opinion without researching it for yourself, then you're going to end up with these watered down but yet concrete perceptions of the world. And I think that's very, very, very important, and that's why I'm doing this. And let me tell you what I've learned doing this. It's fascinating. Aside from all of my political judgments, and this really isn't a political podcast, but aside from all of my political judgments about, the fact that it's essentially political tourism, these caucuses, and these candidates are running around talking to the same people that show up for every event, or at least that was my experience in 2016. But especially when you're covering one political party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, after a while you kind of get a sense of what people are like in Iowa and what people are doing and how they feel about things. And it changes, it softens opinions. It softens your views on things because you realize that this is all a part of a big process. Now, I don't want to make too much out of the Iowa caucuses. I think the media makes too much out of the Iowa caucuses, and they know that. The people of Iowa do this because in 1972, the Democrats, in the wake of the 1968 convention in Chicago, decided that they needed to have a way to get the grassroots more involved in the process, and so they began to develop these primaries, and the Iowa caucuses was born. Unlike Minnesota, which had caucuses going back to the 1920s, or some of the town hall style state governments and political systems in the Northeast, this was a relatively new way of doing things. And of course, the first guy to really take advantage of it, aside from George McGovern, whose campaign manager was Gary Hart, if you'll recall, was Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's the guy that kind of emerged as the first president that really started his campaign in Iowa and was kind of an outlier. As the governor of Georgia, nobody thought that he had a chance, but he proved he did by coming to Iowa. And so that's how the Democrats view this. I think the Republicans in the state have a little different view of caucuses because the Democrats are much more inclined to be, interested in the so-called grassroots. And so the caucuses are a grassroots mechanism. And people go to the caucuses to do other business. So caucuses in Iowa and Minnesota and other town hall style governments are designed to find local people who can be trusted enough to become delegates to the state and county conventions and to do political work. And that's not the way it is in some of the states that just have primaries. I'm doing this so that, and I'm telling you why I'm doing it first, because then I'm going to tell you about the psychological and fatigue issues that come with this. But I'm doing it because I think it's really important. I don't hear many other podcasters taking the time and expense, and it is a great deal of expense on my own. It's my money, a lot of it, going into this, to go to these events by these politicians and to just simply record as much of it as I can, telescope it down so that there is a piece in time, a moment in time, that is a snapshot of what was going on in the Iowa caucuses, and to experience it for myself so that I understand what was going on firsthand without judgment, without walking in and saying, well, I don't like Tom Steyer and I'm going to show everyone what a jerk he is. Or I don't like Amy Klobuchar and I'm going to record Amy Klobuchar and show everybody that she shouldn't be president. I'm not doing that. I'm here to just simply get it on record and to experience it for myself so that I can refer to these cold, wind-blowing prairie experiences later in my mind. Because what happens is when you're here, so much goes into your subconscious that can be called up later as a way to illustrate a lesson or an idea that no one else will have. And so if you can't go, you can listen to the caucus podcasts and you can listen to these event podcasts here in Iowa and get an idea of what these political events around are like. And I will say, and this is the last thing I'll say about politics, I'm getting around the state this time. So I'm not just in Des Moines and environs. I didn't even know what was going on when I did this in 2016. So being in Des Moines and environs, which is where most of these events are, is one thing. But when you start getting out into places like Fairfield and Ames and hopefully later on, you know, Storm Lake and Council Bluffs and so forth, you start learning about the state and its people. And you also find out that most of these political candidates have little offices in Burlington and Ames and Fairfield, and they're all here in town trying to sign people up to vote for their candidate. So this is a huge thing in the state of Iowa. I don't think I've seen it, you know, even though Minnesota has these caucuses, and I've lived in Minnesota for, you know, many, many, many years, I don't think that there's anything approaching this level of organization anywhere. So, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about the struggles in the second half of this podcast. One of my longtime sponsors, of course, is Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for Homer Business. I love him because every time I hang out with Greg, I hear all about interesting problems. And he was explaining to me why sometimes people's carbon monoxide alarms go off and the kinds of problems that can cause if it's involved with venting or whatever. It's just an example of the kind of problem that happens in winter because everybody's houses are shut up. And when you have plumbing or heating problems, you're going to have them in the winter. When you have air conditioning problems, you're going to have them in the summer. In both cases, Ryan Plumbing and Heating is a number you should have nearby, because when you want reliable service, when you want quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, you can call Ryan at 651-224-4771, in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488, online at ryanplumbing.com. They go back four generations in St. Paul. Here's the thing, whether it's residential or business, lots of people think they can fix this stuff themselves, and it almost never works as well as they think it's going to. So remember, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I'll tell you more about Ryan later on in the podcast, but you can check him out online at ryanplumbing.com. So yeah, this is quite a political effort down here, going to all these caucus events, people campaigning for president to get their votes in the caucuses, whether it's in Ames or wherever, and you hear a lot about manufacturing. If you're in the manufacturing business and you are looking for an American manufacturing company, look no further than Depot Star in Minnesota. American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit Depot Star at depotstar.com, DepoStar.com. So I like to keep my podcast at 30 minutes because I think if you can't say it in 30 minutes, then maybe you ought to think about how you're doing the podcast and what you're doing for that podcast. So I'm going to keep this to a minimum. One of the things that I wanted to share, and I think it's probably something I should have started with, but it's very interesting to me. You know, I love to travel. And if you listen to these podcasts, you know that I'm all over the place. And one of my constant difficulties is I don't want to sit someplace and leave this engine run all night. Now, in the summer, I don't have to do that. Because if I'm going someplace and it's warm, I can hang out in the truck without the engine running all day long, and it's no problem. But in the winter, as you can hear, the diesel is running, and it's basically the big generator that's running all the power, so I can turn on the heat back here. Where is it? Patient heat. Should be right up here somewhere. Hang on. Yeah, there it is. So there I have patient heat, which I'm not going to leave on. And I can turn on various lights and everything else, but I can also run all my equipment and everything else using the truck, but the truck is then running for hours and hours and hours. Now, they're designed to do this, but I don't like to run it. It's 20 years old. There's no reason for me to sit here and idle this truck, unless there's absolutely reason. At a certain temperature, so if we get to close to zero, I'm going to run it all night anyway. Unless I have it hooked up to, some kind of main power source so I can run the block heater. If it's really cold, I have to be plugged in. Well, then there is the problem. So most of the campgrounds are closed. Unless I have a friend that will let me plug in, I really can't run the block heater. And if I don't know the power source, I don't like to run the block heater and everything else. So I've got electric heaters to run when I'm plugged in, as well as the block heater. But I don't want to run the block heater all night because I don't know. I don't want to blow a fuse inside of a building I can't get into. For instance, my friend Erica, who works at the Vedic Center in Fairfield, which is a huge, it's a town, literally Vedic City. Let me plug into the building that she works in, which was basically completely deserted all weekend long, and it was a great experience. But I didn't want to run the block heater and all the electric heaters without knowing what the amperage was inside that building, because I didn't want to blow a fuse in that building. So you're constantly balancing your needs with, if I plug in here, am I going to blow the fuse at my neighbor's house and cause all kinds of problems? And so I didn't run the block heater until it was time to go the next morning, and then I turned it on. Then we get into these issues about bathrooms, and I've got a portable toilet. It is okay. It's not great, and I certainly don't want that thing sitting in here if I'm gonna go number two. So, and it's got, you put the liquid stuff in it and it gets rid of all of the waste, but it's still kind of gross to have that thing in here. And being a man, I can pee outside without any issue at all. But in the winter, when it's snow on the ground, you really can't pee in the snow because then there's going to be pee all over the place and it's frozen. So that doesn't work either. So there's all these little issues. And then, and I have to say this, and I have to do by way of thanking my friend Tony, I decided, what I'm going to do is I'm going to borrow a generator. So then I started talking to my networking friends, and I said, does anybody have a generator I can borrow for this trip? And they were like, yeah, I've got a 2200 watt generator, or I've got a 1000 watt generator. And I was like, and then my friend Tony Kiefer goes, well, I got a 4000 watt generator. And I was like, I'm going to take the 4,000 watt generator because the heaters are 1,500 watts, and if the block heater is on with one of these electric heaters, that's 3,500 watts right there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to buy. Now I've never used a generator, right? So Tony brings this thing to the meeting, and I put it in the truck, and it's a pretty big generator, right? And it had never been used. So what do? I fill it up with gas, and then. It's really heavy. So now it's a question of getting it out of the truck and being able to use it. So when I was in Fairfield, I was in and out of the Walmart all the time because I was going to use it at the Walmart, and then I couldn't because I didn't have a lock and I had to go back in and buy a lock. And then there's moving things around. All my food is in a cooler. All my clothes are in a box at the back, and I'm using a hammock to sleep in and a sleeping bag And the thing that's really interesting is that I'm sure if I had an RV, it would be a lot easier. But I got to tell you that one of the huge factors doing this, and I wouldn't, to me, it's a great adventure, so I'm not complaining, but I will tell you, one of the huge factors doing this is fatigue. You get really tired. The other thing is, you know, I've got a camp stove and other stuff, and I could be cooking, but I don't like cooking in here. I like to open the doors and cook outside. It's just too damn cold out there right now to cook outside. I will eventually do it, but I have been eating beef jerky and Trader Joe's mixed nuts and dried fruit and things like that for 4 days, and an occasional hot meal at a diner. But I don't like to eat at the diners like Denny's and stuff like that, because the oil in that food and everything else is really bad. But you get really tired. You know, you get up, you go online, you find an event, you go to the event, and, you know, I'm navigating using a map and a compass. I don't use Google until I get close to where I'm going to be, because I don't want to go on freeways, and I want to navigate it myself so that I learn how to navigate and so that I learn how to be on the back roads and everything else. So when you're tired, you make bad decisions. That's the first thing. The other thing is, and I didn't expect this time around, but being cold and being in the cold, in and out of the cold, even when you've got the heat running and everything else, is very fatiguing. So you have to kind of just slow everything down to one step, then the next step, then the next step. And I have my mind works very fast, and so for me, I'll be 5, 6, 7 steps ahead, and then I make a mistake, like a wrong turn, or going left when I should go right, or getting stuck, or whatever. And it's really interesting what happens when you get cold and tired and hungry. You begin to look at life in minutes instead of, or you have to go to the bathroom. You start looking at life in minutes in terms of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it versus what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year or how much money you're going to make or anything else, because it's down to survival. And I love doing that. I love challenging myself that way. And it may not, you know, people think, oh, you're in a warm truck. What do you, you know, it's not the same as being homeless. I'm not talking about being homeless. I'm talking about working in an environment. For example, you know, I've got an old, MacBook Pro, and the keyboard didn't work. And I was up in Vedic City in Fairfield, and I didn't get a good internet connection, so I couldn't upload any files. So I had to drive all the way back the next day into the city, spend all day, get a keyboard, try the keyboard out, make sure it's working. And then do the blog, upload the podcast and everything else. And by then it's 4 o'clock. And so that's when I said, well, there's an Amy Klobuchar event. I'm just going to roll. So last night at whatever time, you know, I hauled ass up to Des Moines from Fairfield to go to this Amy Klobuchar event, which will be the next podcast, by the way. So that's what it's like, and it's just constant ups and downs with this stuff. I'm sure I'll use this generator at some point. I mean, it's got 3 gallons of gas in it. It's ready to go. I do have a gas buddy, which my friend Ben Harris was like, you should just use the gas buddy. And I was so cold the other night, even with the electric heater, I finally said, I'm trying this thing out. So I opened the window and pulled out the gas buddy. This is a propane heater. And I got a bunch of propane, hooked it up, turned it on, and thought, well, I'm going to die. So I do have a carbon monoxide detector, thanks to Steve Steiner. So that's in here. You know, I've been using the gas buddy instead of the generator, and it's fantastic. It works great, Ben, and that's all I needed. So this is really freaking fun, really fun. It's not a vacation. It's a lot of work. But I really am learning a lot and having a good time doing this, and just amazed at, you get physically tired. Like I feel like I'm physically beat up and physically exhausted, because you're constantly twisting and turning and moving around and then trying to get comfortable, or, you know, climbing in and out, or pulling this out of there, or pulling that out of there. A lot of work. You know, a lot of physical work in addition to standing around in rooms, and now you got your coat on and you're sweating, and then there's this whole question of showers. You know, where do you take a shower? Well, you know, that's not always the easiest question. You take a shower. My plan was to go do yoga and take a shower at the yoga place. And the problem with the yoga places here is they have 3 classes a day. Instead of, you know, like in Minneapolis, you can find yogas anywhere, anytime, pretty much. Here, not so much. And a lot of them places don't have showers anyway, so I'm pretty much stuck going to truck stops, like a Love's or a travel center or something like that, where they have showers for truckers, which are actually very luxurious. They're like $9 to $12, fantastic, but they're not always available. So right now I want to go to the Love's and take a shower, except the Love's truck stop is 20 miles from here. So I'm just going to hang out in Ames and then go to the Tom Steyer event and then go to the Love's. Then from here, Ames, I'm going to start working my way west. So we'll start looking for events in the western part of the state and get out there and get lined up and ready for the caucus. So this was just a short little podcast about what's going on. Hopefully it's fun, and hopefully you can compare it to your own little experiences. But this is not a bowl of cherries. Let's put it that way. This isn't camping out in idyllic, you know, van life, riverfront locations. This isn't driving a Prevost coach around with an oven and a cook and all. I wish, you know, there's no kitchen in here. I love it. I think this is great. I'm enjoying doing this, because if I ever do get an RV and do it in an RV, I'm going to be in pig heaven. I'm going to be like, I've got a kitchen. You mean I've got a kitchen in here? You mean this thing has a generator in it? You mean this thing has a heater? What? Do you mean this thing is insulated and prepared for winter operations? Oh my God. That's fantastic. So, greetings from Ames on the way to Western Iowa, and from there hopefully to Texas if the funds hold out. Yes, and speaking of that, appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Man at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you want to help me out, believe me, every cent counts, and it's going right in the tank or right in my mouth. So if you go to the website and look for the yellow donate button, click on it, takes you to PayPal. You can give me $5, $10, $20, $500, $5,000, $100, whatever you want. I really, really, really appreciate it. And I appreciate also the shares of these podcasts on Facebook and RTs on Twitter, and also LinkedIn especially. I'm getting a lot of great response on LinkedIn. Of course, you can get the podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can subscribe to the feed at thebobdavispodcast.com, but also iTunes, blogtalkradio.com. Spotify is great, and I recommend Spotify for Android devices because it's smooth and simple and works. Stitcher.com is not as good, but I also tell people that have Android devices to go to Stitcher. And there's a bunch of other places where the Bob Davis Podcast exists. Lisbon, PodMN, which is a website that actually it's an app that holds a bunch of local podcasts from Minneapolis and St. Paul that's put up by the Hubbards. And so it's mostly, you know, their podcast, but I'm also on there and a bunch of other local guys. And PodMN sounds really good on the phone, so you can try that out. And that's about it. Got to say this before I go. I hate my printer because I hate paying for print cartridges. And I have my printer with me on the road, and I still have the first cartridge, rolled cartridge that I got in that printer, and it still works. It's amazing. It's been like a year. Cartridge rolled to Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. You can check them out online at Cartridge World by clicking on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or calling them at 763-420-6632, metro-wide from Maple Grove. Cartridge World. I love them. They're awesome. And of course, speaking of metro-wide, that's kind of the slogan for Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Yeah, they go all over the Minneapolis and St. Paul metropolitan area. So whether you are in, I always talk about Invergrove, but let's use Mendota as a good example, or East St. Paul, Plymouth, New Hope, all the way out to Minnetonka, and down south in Burnsville, Egan. Ryan is your guy. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. All right, thanks for listening to the podcast 895 Notes from the Barnstorming of Iowa on the Road in Ames.
Slipping and a slide.